Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, yeah. Merry day after Christmas to all you ladies and gentle people. Gentle peoples. I was on a Bugs Bunny cartoon. Anyway, today's December 26th, 2016, and I found out a little bit late in the day that today, I guess, is considered a holiday because Christmas actually landed on a Sunday this year. So here I am after having had a very nice Christmas day yesterday, very quiet. And I was just spending here at home. My family is dwindling and we're all spread out around the country. So I don't have any kids, so there isn't a whole lot of buying gifts for kids and kids running around and making noise and Christmas trees with tinsel and all that stuff. Did a lot of that when I was a kid. But anyway, hope everybody had a great holiday. And I hope everybody has a great new year. There's a lot of stuff that happened this past year, obviously. And just a very, very neat place and time from a number of standpoints, not the least of which we just had the election, of course, and I could go off on a whole tangent. As a matter of fact, I probably should have made a good part of this program be in support of the election, but I tried to set up a radio program a couple of few weeks ago, and I've been having problems logging in, of all things, into the Blog Talk Radio website in order to utilize my programs that I've set up. And I finally figured out tonight a way to do it. It's a little bit unorthodox, but it worked finally. I was bound and determined to get in and do this show tonight. And anyway, so many other things that have gone on this year. But I am going to touch on, I didn't plan on it, but I will touch on a bit on the election. I've been around for 56 plus years on this planet. And I'm quite the study of things that go on around me. Current events, just human events, history, my own interaction with life, trying to figure things out and struggling through my own problems and trying to help people and trying to figure out what the true meaning of life is, if that's the way to put it. I hate to put it that way, but I've come to a pretty important point in my own life where I understand that my a great part of my existence has been and is becoming much more intensely involved with helping other people. And I wish I had more money. I wish I had a better job. I wish I had maybe more days off or lived in a warmer climate or whatever else. I guess we could all look at our lives and wish things for ourselves or wish things away or whatever. But there's nothing more deeply satisfying than to know you made somebody smile or you helped relieve somebody's pain, that you helped save an animal or took one home from a shelter, whatever. So anyway, I the reason I even bring something like that up is because observing what happened throughout the election process was really an amazing wake up for me. And the reason I say that is because I've never seen anything like what just happened in this election, and it's still not over. And I'm talking about people who are crying and feel so divided relative to an election. And if you think about it, the framework of this republic in this country, it's set up in a way that there are checks and balances for anybody who could even remotely understand what that means anymore. You've got the Supreme Court, you've got Congress, House of Representatives, you've got the presidency. And each one of those branches of government should be able to stop any one of the others from going rogue. And by saying that, you can think in terms of really it doesn't matter who gets elected to the presidency. I mean, if Hillary got elected, my own belief is that she would have continued Obama's policies, which I think of the vast majority of those are incredible failures. And I do believe history will show that to be the case. But somebody like Trump, he comes along and he's got to deal with the Supreme Court. He's got to deal with Congress. He can't just walk in. Now, understand, this is a very interesting concept, actually, because Obama came in and decided he was going to bypass Congress, and he did way too many times, from what I understand, hundreds of times. He wrote up his executive orders and basically said, Congress, I'm not going to listen to you. And that's not the framework of success in this country. And so anyway, here is Obama becoming president back in 2008. And I didn't watch any of the inauguration. I didn't watch any of that stuff. I was too busy in the background doing the vetting, the looking at the background of Obama, trying to figure out where the hell this guy came from. I mean, you don't just have people come from nowhere in a very short time frame and all of a sudden become president. I mean, the guy had no birth certificate he could disclose. He didn't have any transcripts from college. He didn't have any income statements to reveal. The things he was talking about doing, how he wanted to change the country, what he was going to do to the country and that kind of thing. I was immersed in that type of study. I was researching this stuff. And to realize that when he got inaugurated, when he was finally put into the presidency, he was basically God to an awful lot of people. And that's a very scary prospect. I mean, there were people on their knees crying when he was accepting the presidency. And why? Because he has black skin? Really? I'm not racist. I have to preface anything further. I'm going to say, anybody who has ever listened to my program, if you're new to listening to this, if there's even anybody out there in La La Land who might even remotely find my radio show, you will understand a few things about me. One, I'm not racist. Don't ever accuse me of it, because that really will piss me off. I'm probably the least racist person on the planet. I'm not politically correct. I will say what I want to say. I am going to use four-letter words. I use profanity. I use more than four-letter words. I will make points that might piss off people out there. If that bothers you, don't listen to my program. Don't criticize me or anything else. And I can't even fathom there being enough people out there in the world who would hear this show and have the time or want to take the time to write to me or whatever and criticize me and say, hey, I don't like what you say. I'm bored with that. Just say what you want to say, and I'll say what I want to say, and let's agree to disagree if we need to, and let's get along with each other and just get on with it. And I'm not politically aligned either. I'm not Republican. I'm not Democrat. I'm not conservative. I'm not liberal. I am just who I am. And I am the pragmatist, iPragmatist. You can find me at ipragmatist@gmail.com. Consider myself the iPragmatist. I'm on YouTube and other places. And it being a pragmatist, you're just very practical in your approach toward life. And that's what I feel I am. I don't have time to take sides. I don't believe in a us versus them mentality. I don't have a favorite football team. I don't have a favorite baseball team. I just don't give a shit about that. I don't have a team politically. Again, I'm not a Republican. I'm not a Democrat. I lost that type of identity a long time ago. And I sit back and marvel at those people out there in the world who do feel like they have to cry when their favorite football team loses, or cry like Miley Cyrus did. I mean, when Trump won the election. I mean, you talk about a devastatingly embarrassing thing for her to have done, put out a video, and it's on YouTube, and she's crying. And so this gets back to what I was saying. Just because Trump won the election doesn't mean he's going to all of a sudden change this country to where people are going to suffer. He wouldn't get away with that if he tried to do that. Obama was the only one who ever even remotely came close to affecting people's lives on a level that he was able to, because Congress was either afraid to confront him, and or they were on his side, and or whatever. They were bought off, threatened, whatever. And this whole anomaly of what Obama did to this country, there are an awful lot of people out there who don't understand what he's done, what his plans were and what they are, and what he has achieved. It's pretty amazing, actually, what he got away with. And Hillary, I think, would have been in the same vein. I do believe she would have had a power structure behind her that would have allowed her to do what she wanted to do. She's a sheep or a wolf in sheep's clothing, people. And it's just to watch different television programs, for example, where people are fighting in their own families because somebody voted for Trump and the other person voted for Hillary. I mean, this is asinine. The whole concept, 2016, we're supposed to be an evolved species. And yet here we are being more divided than ever in this country's history. And doesn't have to be, and it shouldn't be, and it never would have been if we didn't elect somebody like Obama. And it doesn't mean that we shouldn't have had somebody with black skin. I mean, look at somebody like Dr. Carson. And yes, granted, he's a Republican, conservative. Yes, I understand that. But the guy's intelligent. I mean, the guy's got a PhD. He's been a neurosurgeon. The guy gets stuff. He's incredible. He makes sense. Somebody like Obama just haphazardly, do, 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 do. I'm sorry, but that's how I view him. He's just this fucking goof All right. People think he's a nice enough guy. Well, I'll tell you what, I've seen scenarios where he really isn't a very fucking nice guy at all. Nor is Hillary a good person either. And Trump, in his own way, is probably going to show that he's got some dark sides of himself. We all do. We all will. That's the nature of mankind. And any people out there who try to, if you think in terms of everything should be idealistic and everybody ought to get along, well, you know what, sunshine, you've got an awful lot to learn. And that's the way life is. You're not going to go over to Afghanistan and go up in the mountains and try to sit down with the Taliban and say, hey, I like you guys. I mean, really, come on. You live in the United States. That doesn't mean that there still aren't bad people here. There are bad people here. There are people who murder people here. There are people who rape people here. There are people who do just god-awful things to people here, torture and kidnap and on and on. I mean, my God, really? I mean, we have to look at life, and we have to be careful of it in the ways in the pathways of who we talk to, how we interact with people, we interact with life. You can't just go to any person you see on the street and say, hey, man, how you doing? Can I buy you a coffee? I mean, you can't do that. Probably most people would say, hey, how's it going? My name's Fred or whatever. I mean, it's but there are going to be people out there. I mean, we hear stories all the time about these really awful people who do these really god-awful things to other people. So anyway, it's just, I digress. I just wanted to throw it out there that I've heard so many stories about colleges, for example, and in these college students are in these colleges. I mean, we're schools, and we're talking the cream de la creme. We're talking the best of the best. We're talking brutally competitive colleges that these kids are getting into. And then all of a sudden Trump wins the presidency and these kids are crying and they're throwing temper tantrums to the point where the colleges, quite literally, many of them designate certain rooms as I don't even know, I forget what they call them, safe rooms or something like that, where they put in these plush sofas and they put in stuffed animals. So these poor students who are suffering from Trump winning the election, they can go into these rooms and they can lay down and they can cry and they can hug the teddy bear. I mean, what the fuck is that about? What the fuck? I have 4 degrees. I know what it means to compete. I've had my ass kicked. I've been down and out many a time, and I never needed a goddamn teddy bear or a safe room or some couch in my college where I went to college. I didn't fucking need that, man. Anyway, I'm in awe of what just happened in this election. And these people like Jill Stein in the Independent Party, whatever you call it. And she's the one who has been really pushing for a recount in the Electoral College in this country to try to unseat Trump. I mean, what the fuck just happened? I mean, really, what is this? Here we got Trump, and he's been conveyed in the mainstream media, and I'm going on too long in this whole chat here, but mainstream media has demonized him. They've called him Hitler. The average kid, and you can watch Waters World on Fox News on the O'Reilly show. Look up Waters World on YouTube and watch him go out on college campuses and talk to college students. They don't even know who Hitler is or was. They don't know what Nazi Germany was. They don't know about concentration camps. Some do, but the majority don't. I know that because I watched TV, I watch videos, I read, I study, I research, I get it. So all of a sudden the mainstream media is pumping out all this really terrible information about who Trump is. I mean, the guy, he's probably a really decent guy to sit down and have breakfast with or a drink or whatever. I mean, come on, people. So you don't like his hair? Well, I'll tell you what. I don't like Hillary's hair either. I don't like what she's done in the past. I don't like the fact that she allowed Ambassador Stevens to be murdered in fucking Benghazi, or that she prided herself that Muammar Gaddafi was murdered in fucking Libya and she had everything to do with it. She was the one who allowed him to be murdered on video, and she prided herself and walks around saying, oh, we came, we conquered, and he died. Ha, 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 and everybody laughs. Really? That makes you a murderer. And I have to sit back, and if I was ever in her presence, that would be one of the first things I'd ask her. Do you really feel good about having murdered people? Do you really feel good about having murdered people? And you've got these stupid stories going around about how Trump fucking abuses women and all this stuff. Really? Really? Read about Hillary being a pedophile, that she molests kids, okay? Those stories are out there, too. You can tell me, oh, that's not true. Well, I say, well, that's not true about Trump either. Now we're even. Can we really sit down and have a good dialogue right now? Anyway, end of my little diatribe there. So anyway, I have a little bit of an avant-garde scenario I'm looking at tonight. I really wanted to plow through some stuff, but I can see that I took a little bit more time than I wanted to on that stuff I was just talking about, the election. But anyway, the main thing I wanted to touch on tonight has to do with all this climate change and global warming talk and this type of stuff. And this stuff gets deep, and we all could get into a very major discussion about it, and it's no different than any other subject. I mean, I'm disturbed by the educational system in this country, for example. It's run by the federal government, which I think is a huge mistake. It's very costly. It's insane. It's insanely costly. And there are things that the federal government is making people do, teachers and learning programs and these I forget what it's called, the new program here educationally. They call it Communist Core, kiddingly. But the concept is we just keep changing how kids learn in this stuff. And when you're an adult and a parent, whatever, if you look at it, what's going on with all this stuff, you start to see some real serious faults in it when you're sitting down with your kids and you're looking at the books that they're reading, and at Common Core, that's what it's called, obviously. And I've seen some of it, and that's not how I learned. That's not how I learned growing up. And some of these kids are really frustrated with this stuff, and it doesn't seem to be making sense. And I'm going to get off that whole thing because this really isn't about the educational system. It's no different than the banking systems and all these other things. I mean, they're such awful things that are going on when you look at any particular program that the government has its hands in or its hand in. Just an example, look at Obamacare. All right, everybody's running around screaming about, oh, my God, it's going to make everything affordable, which it isn't. The prices are going up like crazy, and those of you who supported Obamacare, you are going to rue the day. You're going to regret supporting Obamacare. You maybe are now. But think about the one stipulation, for example, where if you don't get coverage, health coverage, during any given time frame, let's say you're out of work and you're broke, and let's say you're even homeless or something, and you can't even afford to put food in your mouth, and you're going to worry about paying the government for health care, and at the end of the year, because you weren't able to afford it, they turn around and penalize you. The people who shouldn't be penalized are those who can't afford it. I mean, what the fuck? Really, Obama's a really good guy? The federal government really makes sense? They really care about us? I'm going to change your minds, people, with my radio programs as I go forward. You may disagree with me, and like I said earlier, I agree to disagree. You need to do the same thing. We can chat about all this stuff. We don't need to get mad at each other, fight, anything else. It's non-productive. That's fucking stupid. There's nothing more stupid in this life than being non-productive. Nothing more stupid than that. Nothing more retarded than that. Nothing. And so I sit here and I'm willing to debate anybody. Just friendly debate. We don't have to yell at each other, but that's where people are now. And there's so much division, all this stuff. And just to observe all this stuff is really an amazing concept to somebody like me. So getting back to climate change, I mean, here's another program where the federal government and other governments across the planet are getting their hands in it. And you know that there's a lot of money to be made. That's why these people are choosing to do what they do. That's why they're making the decisions they make. That's why they're passing the laws that they pass. That's why they're being as secretive about it. That's why they're blaming us. And that's exactly where I wanted to go as far as what I wanted to talk about right now. I don't accept that you and I, people, are the ones who predominantly are affecting any kind of weather changes. And I'm going to throw out a couple things real quick, and you can agree with me or disagree, whatever. I don't care if you agree or disagree. I know what I know. You will never change my mind because I've studied it way too long. But chemtrails are real. And I don't care what people like Clifford Carnicom say about we need to use other expressions than chemtrails because they think, he thinks, and other people think that the word chemtrail isn't the real technical word for what's going on. Screw that. It's fucking chemicals that are coming out of airplanes. They're making trails, so they're chemtrails, okay? Let's get down and dirty and talk about what the fuck's going on. Stop with this fucking stupidity about calling me a conspiracy theorist. We know chemtrails are real, people, all right? I can call them chemtrails. I can call it geoengineering. I can call it anything you want me to call it. But it's fucking chemtrails. They're chemicals and salts and metals that are being sprayed out of nozzles that are specially installed on airplanes. And this shit is falling to the ground. It's making us sick. It's killing trees and animals and bugs and plants and everything else. It's infiltrating our food system. It's getting into our bodies. It's fucking up our digestive tracts. And that's where a lot of these immune diseases are coming from. Things like lupus and Crohn's and colitis so many of these other things that are just popping up all of a sudden, cancers. I mean, Christ, there's an epidemic of cancers in this country, if not the world. I know that because I've been there. I've been around people, lots of people this past year alone. I've had to deal with cancers where people have died, people have gotten sick, people have had surgeries. It's horrifying. It's fucking horrifying. And I've got cousins who are about to die, and I'm just waiting for that call where I'm going to hear from somebody in my family say, hey, so-and-so died. This is all being done to us. That's another conversation. You can listen to other shows that I've done in the past. I talk about this stuff. But I'm going to go forward beyond the chemtrails and all that type of concept. There is a shift in the weather systems and that. And again, I do believe it has to do with atmospheric heaters like HAARP, H-A-A-R-P, look it up, chemtrails and other things, okay? There are patents with the U.S. Patent Office that Raytheon and other companies have where they have patents where they prove that they could change weather. They can make it rain. They can make it drought. They could create hurricanes. They could destroy hurricanes. They can make tornadoes. They could destroy tornadoes, okay? These fucking patents exist. Okay, you could, and if there's anybody ever listening to this, you could sit back and say, oh, God, this guy Dan's fucking nuts. I'm not fucking nuts, man. Look up U.S. patents for weather engineering. Look it up. They're there. These people, these companies have proven that they can make it rain, they can make it drought, and on. They can make it cold. They can nucleate, what's called nucleation, where they can make it really fucking cold like they are up here in upstate New York where I am. they can make it really fucking hot where you are down in Uruguay. This is what the power these people have. Okay, so beyond that, to get beyond that type of a conversation, that is where I really believe the problems are as far as the weather changes that we're seeing. Now, that doesn't mean that there aren't other things going on in the atmosphere that we need to be concerned with. Okay, so again, if you're in an area where it rains more than it ever did, it may very well be because these bastards are spraying these chemicals and things into the air above you, which makes air, the water molecules pull together and they get so heavy they start falling and it rains on you. Okay, that was being done back in the Vietnam War. Look it up. Cloud seeding, Vietnam War, Ho Chi Minh Trail. Look it up. Okay, I don't have time to talk about those stupid little details. We know what these motherfuckers can do. We know what they can do. We know what they can do. Where I'm going now is more along the lines of the damage that's being done to the atmosphere itself, being blamed by the governments of the world. We're being told that because we drive around our cars every day and we go to work every day that we're setting up CO2 and all this horse shit up into the atmosphere and that we're destroying the ozone. And if any of you remember back in the 60s, 70s, where the government came out and I got to remember the gas that they used to put into refrigerators and air conditioners. And off the top of my head, I can't remember. But the government came along and said, hey, we can't be using this chemical in these air conditioning systems because when it leaks out, it goes up into the atmosphere and it destroys the ozone. Well, let me tell you, sunshines, that I've been doing quite a bit of work in the background, and I've come to the realization, the understanding, that, yes, we all contribute to putting soot and chemicals and CO2 and these things from our cars, whatever, into the atmosphere. I understand that, but are we the only ones who are doing this? And that's the crux of what I'm talking about tonight. I see, at a minimum, the militaries of the world, the shuttle launches, and nuclear bombs that have been set off on this planet as being probably as having contributed more to the damage of the atmosphere than we could ever imagine doing ourselves, even with as many people as there are on the planet, with as many cars as we have, with as many coal stoves and fireplaces and heating units and whatever, and the coal plants and all this stuff. Okay, and the airline industry is in there too. Okay, there are a lot of different contributors to what's actually damaging the atmosphere, and the atmosphere is being damaged. I will never say that the damage isn't happening, and that gets back to what I'm saying tonight. So I did some background work a little bit, and nuclear bombs, for example, as of September 16th, and I'll post this is from a website called armscontrol.org, and I'll be posting these websites because I really want people to be able to listen to the facts that I have and be able to go look at it themselves and be able to maybe find other data on other websites that will refute what I'm talking about, which is what I really lust for people to engage with me. I love having conversation. I love having people prove me wrong. I like proving people wrong. That's what this is all about. We need to learn from each other rather than hate each other or fear each other, like what's happened in this damn election, which again is just so infantile. It's incredible to me. Anyway, according to armscontrol.org, as of September 2016, okay, this year, there have been at least 2,055 nuclear bombs detonated. All right? 2,000, over 2,000 nuclear bombs have been detonated on this planet. Now, I don't know if I put a PowerPoint, whatever, I forget what it's even called. I put pictures up on the main page of this presentation. And I hope it's working because it took me a long time to figure it out. And I'm actually a computer guy, but I've never done that kind of thing before, a playlist. And so anyway, if you're looking at any of the pictures, if they're actually showing up, you're seeing pictures of shuttles taking off and you're seeing nuclear bombs going off. I mean, just imagine what these things are doing to the atmosphere. I mean, look at it. Look at a picture of a shuttle launch and all the smoke out, even before the shuttle takes off. Look at all that caustic shit that's being put out into the air. Okay, that's not gasoline, you guys. That's not propane. That's not some real mild little fucking chemical that really doesn't hurt anything. That's caustic fucking awful stuff. I'm doing research and I'm trying to figure out when one of the shuttles, granted, yes, we don't launch anymore, but when each shuttle would go off, I'm trying to figure out what the equivalent damage was as far as we are concerned. So you launch a shuttle, you got all this caustic, all these, this, you've got solid fuels and liquid fuels and all this stuff, and they're so caustic. They're made out of these really fucked up chemicals. Imagine how much power is needed to lift one of those shuttles off the ground. My guess is that's probably the equivalent of millions of cars being driven for 50 years. I mean, I don't know that. But can't look at a shuttle launch without looking at it. If you're thinking, you can't look at that and say, oh, that's no big deal. It all dissipates. It disappears. Fuck that, man. I think the damage these motherfuckers have done is you can't calculate it. You just can't. So anyway, here's another statistic, and I'm going to post these websites, like I said. As of 1993, 520 atmospheric nukes were set off. Okay, these are set off in the air for a total of 545 megatons of explosive power. And then another 1,352 underground tests were done. Underground bombs were set off. For a total yield of 90 megatons. I mean, that's massive power, in other words. That was as of 1993. And the countries with the nukes are the US, of course, Russia, of course, the UK, France, China, India, Pakistan, North Korea, and Israel. Israel won't admit it. They won't admit it. There's no very little documentation to prove that Israel has set off nukes. They may not have even set them off, but they had other people set them off for them. They have nukes. And they try to act like they don't. Anyway, and a very sad fact too, and this isn't really along the lines of what I'm trying to make a point of here, but out of that same armscontrol.org website, one of the quotes that I pulled out of there says, most of the test sites for these nukes, where these nukes have been set off, are in the lands of indigenous peoples and far from the capitals of the testing governments. In other words, our government has the gall, the audacity to take one of these bombs and then go set it off in some other country or on some island out in the Pacific Ocean, the Bikini Atoll, for example. Look that up, bikini, like wearing a bikini, Atoll. They cleared an island of indigenous people. Indigenous meaning people who have been there forever. Just people who just want to be left alone. Our government went there, military went there, cleared the people out of there, and then set off bombs to see what kind of effect it would have on our ships, our battleships and that kind of thing that are sitting off the coast. Take a look at pictures of the Bikini Atoll. Look it up. This is horrifying what these motherfuckers have done. And this, I turn it around again because I'm pissed off that I'm being blamed and I'm being told that I'm going to have to pay carbon taxes and that I'm to blame because of what's happened as far as the damage to the environment and that climate change is real and fucking global warming and all this stuff. You know, some warming is actually happening, but it's not because of us. It's because of what these motherfuckers have done as far as bombs and the military and chemtrails and shuttle launches and all this stuff. It's all being done. They've done the damage. But now they're able to turn it around and say, well, we don't want to have people blame us. We're not going to take the blame for it. So let's just turn around and blame people. And they've gotten so many people out there to believe that we are the ones who have caused the problem. So now all of a sudden you see programs on television about small houses and big living and all this stuff. And people are, or you see these people, these women sitting in these bathtubs the size of a coffee cup, and they're all giggling and stuff. Oh, this is so cute. And I'm thinking to myself, really? You want to live like that? You want to live where you can't even fucking move around if you have a husband or wife? Really? Do what you want to do, but don't tell me I have to live in some little tiny shelter that's only got 100 square feet. Don't fucking tell me I need to live like that. You want to live like that? Go ahead. You've been brainwashed, and that's exactly where I'm going with this type of stuff. Military power, all right? And I'm going to, there's the website I quote from is globalfirepower.com. Globalfirepower.com. I will post these websites. Go take a look at these. At a minimum, as far as military power, the military planes on this planet right now, out of the 30 or 40 countries listed, I only chose the top say 5 or 6 countries. There's a lot more than this, but at a minimum there are 24,000 military aircraft on this planet right now. They're probably 30 or 40,000 right now, maybe probably more. As far as battleships, aircraft carriers, frigates, destroyers, patrol boats, torpedo boats, amphibious support craft, and that kind of thing, they're at least 4,000, probably way above that. Okay, as far as tanks, they're at least 45,000, probably 60, 75,000 tanks. And these are all being engaged right now. These are in wars. These are planes that are blowing up people and buildings and infrastructure. These are ships that are out in the sea and burning up 2,000 gallons of fuel every hour. Every hour. Total number of shuttle missions was 135. And again, look at the shuttle launch pics if they show on the main page of my presentation here. And if they don't show, do a Google search. Look at shuttle launch and then choose, do a Google search on shuttle launch and then look at the images. Look at how horrific these motherfucking launches are. It's not just the launches. Just look at them as they're flying up in the air after they've already bombarded the ground. Think about all the animals that have died, all the fish, all the shit. That's a Cape Canaveral down in Florida. That's right on the ocean, man. That shit seeps into the fucking goddamn water. It's fucking up animals and everything else. And if you don't give a shit, you know what? I don't give a shit about you either. Right? That's just how it works. I care about this planet, and I'm tired of seeing this stuff happen. I'm tired of being blamed for the damage that's been done. Yes, I have done my share. I tend to be very careful about what I pollute with. I don't burn plastics. I could go on and on. I'm very careful about recycling. I'm very careful. Okay, so I'm a lot less of a polluter than most people are. So when I start getting blamed by people like Obama and he's saying, oh, you're going to have to live in a smaller house and you're going to have to drive a smaller car and all this stuff. And yet they keep building cars now with bigger and bigger engines. I mean, it's friends of mine have cars that have 500 horsepower engines in their cars. I mean, this is 2017 now. Really? And I have Obama telling me that I'm burning too much fuel. I'm putting too much CO2 into the atmosphere. Are you fucking kidding me? You got people driving around these little tiny clown cars, essentially. I mean, that's what I did. I used to watch these parades back in my hometown. and there'd be clowns driving around these cars that were really tiny. And I used to giggle. I used to want one of those. I was like, yeah, a little tiny car. I want one of those. Now I look at this stuff and I look at the cars that people drive, and they're so small. You get hit by a bicycle and you're gonna get killed. That's how fucking stupid small these fucking cars are. And we're being told that we're the ones who are doing the damage to the atmosphere and the planet, really. All right, so here's a quote from, I don't remember. I think this was from projectcensored.org. And I believe this is a quote from a woman, Dr. Helen Caldicott, C-A-L-D-I-C-O-T-T, a world-renowned physician and environmentalist. She is quoted as saying, this is back in 2015, okay, this is only a year and a half ago, every time the space shuttle is launched 250 times, this is each shuttle, each one of these 135 shuttles, just one each, 250 tons of hydrochloric acid, which is incredibly caustic, if you know what that means, 250 tons of hydrochloric acid is released into the air. With each launch, 0.25% of the ozone is destroyed. The ozone is what protects us from the sun's rays. You destroy the ozone, we all die. And she's continue with her quote, so far, the space shuttle has destroyed 10% of the ozone. Okay, this is back in 2015. Now, by this time, the shuttle missions had stopped. But what she's saying is that the shuttles destroyed 10% of the ozone, all right? The ozone being destroyed, that will cause warming of the planet, okay? So, again, the military, NASA, government put together, it destroyed at least 10% of the ozone. So we're getting cancers and this stuff because of what these motherfuckers have done. All right, it's not because of what you and I are doing. It's because of what these motherfuckers have done. All right, let's see. All right, here's another quote. It's from a different, I assume it's a woman, Valerie Burdikoff. A brief article in a special circulation environmental publication supports Dr. Aldicott's charges. Two Soviet rocket scientists have warned that the solid fuel rocket boosters used on the space shuttle release 187 tons of ozone-destroying chlorine molecules into the atmosphere with every launch. Okay? So the shuttle destroyed a tremendous amount of the ozone, and yet we're being blamed for it by people like Obama and Al Gore and people in the UN and on and on. When Valerie Burdikoff, I assume that's a woman, co-designer of the Russian Energia rocket engine, also noted that each shuttle launch produces 7 tons of nitrogen, which is another ozone depleter, also 387 tons of carbon dioxide, which is a major contributor to the greenhouse effect, which is what we're being told we're causing, and 177 tons of aluminum oxide, which is thought to be linked to Alzheimer's disease, before reaching an altitude of 31 miles. Okay, so you launch a shuttle and it flies 31 miles and it releases, each one of those shuttle missions released those amounts of those chemicals that I just read. Burdikoff also notes that the history of ozone depletion correlates closely with an increase of chlorine discharged by solid fuel rockets since 1981. According to Burdikoff and his colleague, he's a male, Valerie Burdikoff is a male, Vyacheslav Filin, I think I'm pretty close on that, a single space shuttle launch can destroy as much as 10 million tons of ozone. That means that some 300 shuttle flights could completely destroy the Earth's protective ozone shield. Let me read that again. Burdikoff and this guy Filin say each that a single shuttle launch can destroy as much as 10 million tons of ozone. And that means that some 300 shuttle flights could completely destroy the Earth's protective ozone shield. There have been 100, what did I say, 100, how many shuttle flights? Where's the number up here? I think, 135. Okay, so we're almost halfway there. So we've destroyed, they have, I should say. It's easy to say we have. I haven't destroyed anything. These bastards who have done all this stuff, people in NASA, the military, the U.S. government, and others, they've destroyed basically half of the ozone on the planet by just launching the shuttles. We're not even talking rockets. Okay, we're not talking bombs that are going off right now in other countries from our airplanes, mines going off, fuel being burned by all the planes and the ships and all this stuff, all the chemtrails, the HARP, heating of the atmosphere, and on and on. And here's another quote, and this is from, I believe, Slate, S-L-A-T-E.com. And that's actually a very liberal website. And I don't tend to care much for liberals. I don't care for anybody politically, but liberals bother me, I think, more than anybody else. But anyway, I found this to be very interesting that they would look at things the way that they do here. Somebody is quoted as saying this. I don't remember who it is, but it will be on the website that I'm going to be putting on. I'll be adding these websites to my article, my presentation. Anyway, the quote, here's a simple reason why we hear a lot more about cars, ships, and planes than we do about rocket ships. There are a lot more of them. Each flight into space does have a small impact on the planet it leaves behind, but for the moment, at least these launchings are very rare. Okay, they're talking about sending space shuttles and spaceships and that kind of thing up into the atmosphere. Only a couple of rockets blast off every week around the world. As a result, space travel doesn't register on most environmentalists' radars. Now, I put after that because of what I quoted above. We're being told by a certain area, a certain website, certain number of people that we, these shuttles and all this stuff, have introduced massive, incredible, incalculable levels of damage to the atmosphere. And yet these people at this Slate.com website are saying that, oh, there's nothing to worry about. Don't worry about that. And I saw that, and that's why I had to say, because something just didn't register. So anyway, I had a quick... There's some other things I did want to, I did really want to touch on, but I'm not going to be able to. As a matter of fact, there was a Jeff Rentz article I wanted to touch on, and I'm not going to be able to find that. Anyway, that it really okay. Let's see. Okay, another thing that really bothers me, and I wanted to get into this, but I'm not going to be able to, is it's just understanding there are people on this planet who are worth so much money, it's sickening. I mean, we're talking tens of trillions of dollars. Queen of England is one of them. Anyway, just rents.com, R-E-N-S-E, and I'll put this website location on my presentation when it gets put on online. Queen Elizabeth controls uranium just as De Beers controls the diamond trade, but she does it through direct ownership. Think about it. Check out where uranium is mined, and she owns the land or controls the companies one way or another. Anyway, I really wanted to touch on that, about how some of these people have so much money, and yet we see these commercials on television where they're telling us that they're asking us to donate money to helping to save people and stuff. And yet we pay how much in taxes every year? It's sickening what this government takes from us in taxes every year. It's they take more and more every single month. They take more from us every single month for years. They've been doing this. And yet I have to watch commercials on television where these people are asking me to donate money to help poor people or to help the environment or whatever, really. And these bastards are the ones who have done the damage. Anyway, my name's Dan. I am the iPragmatist. I really enjoy this show. I'll be doing a lot more going forward. I've been very invigorated doing this show. Hopefully, anybody out there may listen to this. Hopefully, you'll enjoy what you've heard, and you can pass this along, and hopefully somebody else will listen to it. All right. Have a good day. Enjoy the holidays.